There's never been any argument that the healthcare industry is perhaps the fastest growing industry that we have in the state of Michigan. And there is no unit of that sector that perhaps is growing as quickly as Michigan medicine. And we are joined by the president of University of Michigan Health System, Dr. David Miller. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm really grateful to be here and on Mackinac Island with an opportunity to talk about a lot of exciting changes and times in healthcare at University of Michigan Health. So thank you very much.
You guys just refuse to stay in Washtenaw County. What's going on?
Yeah, it's definitely an exciting time of growth. And I think for all of our team members, what we've come to see is that, you know, there's a lot of demand for the highly specialized services that we're able to provide at Michigan Medicine and at University of Michigan. And over time, the capacity to meet the needs of our communities has been limited by both convenience and space in Ann Arbor, where our hospital is very busy. And so we've taken the position, how do we bring some of our highly specialized services to more communities in the state? Think of a concept of providing the right care in the right place at the right time. And in some cases, we've done that with partnerships with Trinity Health, for instance, in Southeast Michigan. And other times, it's been extending University of Michigan Health in Oakland County, as you mentioned, and in some of our partnerships in mid-Michigan and on the west side of the state. So an exciting time of growth, really trying to get the right care, the right place, and the right time so patients aren't having to travel as much for those highly specialized services.
We talked about this earlier on, how Michigan Health is coming to Oakland County right across from the mall. Everyone knows that spot, that old Kmart spot. Not a hospital, but sort of an outpatient. Tell me what it's going to be like.
Yeah, thanks. We're so excited about the location and about being present in Oakland County and expanding our presence in Southeast Michigan. So we anticipate a facility that offers highly advanced specialty services, including imaging services and likely procedural-based or surgical-based outpatient services. But you're right, not a hospital, but a highly specialized outpatient center. And, you know, in that geography, we know that in any given year, we have almost 200,000 patients who are traveling from Oakland, Macomb, or Wayne County to Ann Arbor. And the ability to be present in the community for services that are needed in a repeated fashion, think about infusion services for a patient with cancer or radiation therapy, is really going to make a difference in terms of the convenience and access.
Also, you know, we're at a time now where a lot of young people are taking care of their parents, taking care of their adult parents, and there are adult services that U of M Health System provides as well. Talk about some of those services that they provide.
Yeah, so I think, you know, at U of M Health broadly, you know, we really pride ourselves in providing the whole spectrum of services from primary care to the most complex services in areas like cancer, neurosciences, or cardiovascular disease. In Oakland County, we anticipate replicating some but not all of those.
Okay.
We believe we'll be able to bring high complexity cancer services. So think about, again, the ability to receive chemotherapy, radiation therapy, follow-up imaging in the community. So we're going to see a large number of specialty services that have been required to come to Ann Arbor that will now be present in the community.
Yep. Great.
When you look at what's happening in the healthcare industry, any industry up here, every CEO is complaining about talent recruitment and retention. It's nice. You've got your own school of medicine, so you can kind of create your feeder system. You've got your minor league system, and you're developing your own talent. But does that make it any easier, or are there still parts of your need that aren't being fulfilled, and how do we address those things?
Yeah, thanks for the question, and you're right. I mean, education is one of our core missions at University of Michigan, and so our School of Nursing, our School of Medicine, our School of Public Health. But when you look broadly at the healthcare workforce, we do need more partnerships to help with recruitment, retention of team members in a lot of different allied health fields. So for instance, think about pharmacy technicians. More and more treatments today are complex medications.
Right.
And there have been some challenges with staffing in an area like pharmacy technicians. So we've worked to build a training program at University of Michigan to help us train the next generation of pharmacy technicians. And we've seen that in some other areas across the state. Our University of Michigan Health Sparrow has developed unique training programs for medical assistants who provide essential care often in the ambulatory setting. And on the west side of the state, some great examples in nursing as well. So really it has been across the board of thinking about new ways to partner with educational institutions and to continue to strengthen our own programs at the University of Michigan.
Big healthcare headlines these days are hospitals getting hacked. The latest is Ascension right by where actually I live. What can you do to prevent that at your hospitals?
Yeah, that's a great question and really a difficult circumstances for patient care delivery. And I think You know, in some ways, it's not too dissimilar from healthcare as a whole. You have to be able to prevent, detect, and when something is detected, to be able to treat it or resolve it. So we're working in all those areas. How do we make it more difficult for hackers to enter into our systems through having multiple steps of identifying an individual? How do we limit the technologies, you know, to some extent to create what I'll call a less porous environment? Work is underway there. And then internally, we're taking a lot of steps to say, if it were to happen, because in some ways it almost feels inevitable that some of these events are going to occur. If it were to happen, how do we reduce the amount of time that it's impacting patient care and impacting our team members? And there are some good ways of preparing that we can do. And one example that's been a big focus at Michigan right now has been migrating some of our technology to the cloud so that we're not storing our data in our own buildings where they're more susceptible, but in a cloud-based storage where there's more resiliency to that type of attack. But that issue is at the forefront and something we're thinking about every day.
So if there's a disruption at this level, you can bring it back down and restore a lot quicker.
Exactly. That restoration, the ability to access, think about key data like the electronic medical record, is less susceptible than if it's just stored in a data warehouse on our own facilities.
And hospitals are vulnerable because there's so much personal information regarding a patient. Is that why they go after hospitals?
Yeah, I think hospitals, that's one aspect of it. Hospitals have some vulnerability just because of the sheer amount of technology that's used on a daily basis. But then for our patients, it is the susceptibility of that, that PHI, that protected health information, that makes these attacks have such a high implication. And then because the field itself has migrated to the everything being electronic, mm-hmm. right? 20 years ago, we were writing prescriptions.
Yeah, my mom,
handwritten
nursing.
Notes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, different.
And going back to that now is such a disruption, and we're seeing that. And so that question, that issue is at the forefront of everyone's mind in healthcare right now.
What do you do to help stamp out burnout? Because, you know, with the pandemic, you know, a lot of doctors, nurses, you know, we're just burned out, and you get doctors who are saying that it's just too much going on, it's too much on us, on the nurses, on the doctors. How do you motivate them? How do you get them to?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I would say first, I'm so grateful to work with our incredible teams at University of Michigan Health, who every day are bringing all of themselves to meet the needs of our patients and our communities. And the issue you raise of well-being, right? And what does it mean to have a career in healthcare that allows you to balance your commitment to patients with the rest of your life? And I think part of what's happened in healthcare is a little bit technology-driven. The streams, the way that information flows to clinicians now is very different than it was 20 years ago. So you now have communication through an electronic portal and the electronic medical record. And so part of what we've been trying to do is to say, how do we reduce some of the burden in those areas? So we're looking at possibilities of using like artificial intelligence to help support routine processes like prescription refills, right? We're looking at ways that we can offer time within a schedule for our clinician colleagues to be able to respond to those electronic outreach from patient as opposed to seeing another new patient in clinic. So we're looking at ways to balance those ever-changing demands in with the idea that the well-being of our teams translates to the well-being of our patients and our communities.
Nobody wants to see an inbox that's stuffed full of things that are waiting for you when you finally catch a break, right?
At the end of the day, right, to turn to your inbox. And those are important questions for patients, and we've got to develop systems and processes to support our teams.
You're in a unique position because not only are you a hospital system, but you're also part of one of the largest research organizations, perhaps the largest research organization in the state of Michigan. Tell me about some of the exciting things that are happening that get you jazzed in the morning to say, boy, here's something over here that I know it's going to take a while to bear fruit, but it's going to be really exciting when it does.
Yeah, I mean, it's thank you for raising it. It's incredible. You know, our mission is to advance health to serve Michigan and the world, and at its core, that notion of advancing health is innovation and new discovery. And I think one of the things, you know, just if I could tie it back to the growth of our scale, is the ability to bring some of the new innovations that are coming out of the academic medical center to broader populations of patients more quickly. We have a new treatment for patients with advanced liver cancers, for instance, that was developed. It's called histotripsy. It was developed as a partnership between the College of Engineering and the medical school in Ann Arbor. Okay. That is now being, it was FDA approved and is now being used clinically in Ann Arbor. And we're now seeing opportunities to more quickly bring that, for instance, to West Michigan to patients there. And so we see that, you know, not only are we now having the innovation and the new discovery, but the ability to scale that and meet the needs of more communities. A very exciting time in the innovation space. And at our heart, in the DNA of University of Michigan Health, is research, discovery and innovation. And so our clinical trials, our basic science research, and how that informs the next generation of clinical care is continuing at pace.
How many clinical trials might you have in process at any given time?
Yeah, I don't think I could give you the specific number,
right,
but I'd say it's on the order of hundreds. And you know, the opportunity to be participating in those, some of them developed by our own investigators, and some of them us partnering with larger multi-institutional trials,
right,
represents, you know, a great opportunity for not only new discovery but new therapies for patients.
I mean, I've done a lot of stories at Mott on the TV side of my life, and just the innovation and the things you can do with little babies to save their lives is just inspirational.
Yeah, thank you. In a given day for me, the opportunity to walk over to Mott and to see the care that's delivering there, to see the connection of the provider community with the patients. When patients are discharged from the oncology floor at Mott, it's the most amazing scene. The nurses, the doctors,
yeah,
line up, and as the patients leave, there's a round of applause and almost a parade. And one patient enjoyed it so much that she went back around and came through again. So that is truly
precious.
Thank you for recognizing the incredible care that occurs at Mott every day.
Well, thank you for leading this team that is so inspiring on so many fronts, and also breaking ground and bringing a lot of attention to the really highly innovative people we have in the state of Michigan. Dr. David Miller, it's been a pleasure. Thank you
so much. Appreciate the opportunity to share our story.
Time for Eye on Engineering, brought to you by Tasian Automotive Technologies, the formula for better mobility.
A new hydrogen fuel truck stop at the Port of Oakland, California, marks a giant step towards sustainability in heavy hauling. First Element Fuel opened the station, which stores liquid hydrogen on site and converts it to a gas on its way to the pump. The station can pump 18,000 kilograms of hydrogen a day, supporting back-to-back fills that take less than 10 minutes for up to 100 kilograms or 220 pounds. Previous stations could handle only a fraction of that volume. The fuel can take a Class 8 hydrogen truck up to 600 miles. Dedicated fleets of Hyundai and Nikola trucks will use the station. The key to converting liquid hydrogen to a gas on its way to the pump lies in heat exchangers and cryo pumps that First Element developed with Bosch Rexroth. The pumps use servo motors rather than manual valves to control the process. The Port of Oakland location was chosen because the nation's ports, served by older fleets of diesel trucks, are infamously high in pollution. For SAE International, I'm Chris Klontz, and that's an Eye on Engineering.
Boy, it was a scorcher this weekend, and then it cooled off, and that kind of up-and-down unpredictability is pretty common for this time of year. If you find that on those hot days your AC just isn't keeping up, sign up today and take advantage of the CNC Heating and Air Conditioning Summer Savings Plan, where you can get an AC tune-up for only $99. They'll check it out with their top-rated certified technicians, make sure everything's operating smoothly. If not, they'll make sure that it is, and if it's not repairable, you'll get a new high-efficiency Carrier air conditioning system, and you can do it for monthly payments as low as $129 a month. CNC Heating and Air Conditioning, so good at making sure they deliver on your expectations for customer service. It's why they've become one of the most beloved residential heating and cooling companies out there, with the motto of service today, install tomorrow. So don't get stuck in the heat as we begin to really warm up here. Sign up today for that $99 AC tune-up special from CNC Heating and Air Conditioning by calling 586-439-3319. That's 586-439-3319, or visit cncheat.com. That's cncheat.com. Carrier, turn to the experts.